Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Chris Taylor with us. Chris is the president of Great Bear Resources. He's been on the show a number of times before. He is an economic geologist. He's focused on structures, and boy, has he found some amazing structures on the project that he's working on, the Dixie Project, on behalf of Great Bear. Thanks for joining me again, Chris.
It's great to speak with you today, Jay.
It's always great to have you. It's always great to have someone like you on that just keeps making money for shareholders. You know, it's an amazing time, and you have one of the most amazing projects. It just dumbfounds me every time I see more drill results coming out. I just say, wow. I mean, it's just pretty amazing. On July 7th, you reported on several more drill holes on your Dixie project, one of which intersected 10.06 grams of gold over 31.25 meters. Results have recently confirmed your contention. All along, you've been contending that mineralization is stronger at depth, and I guess you're seeing that, right? And so what can you tell us about this last drill report, and where does the project stand right now in your mind?
Well, it's amazing. I was listening to your guest, Michael, speaking just a few minutes ago, and I find it funny. We're in a bubble here in Great Bear where our shareholders are doing very, very well against the grain of, you know, the general market, which is really struggling. And I think, you know, we've effectively just since February of this year, we've more than doubled the size of the company. So, you know, I don't know of too many other investments where shareholders have doubled their money since February. So it's just a function of these numbers that we keep intersecting with the drill rig. And like you mentioned, Jay, some of the stuff, like one of the ways, like my background is mining, and one of the ways that I think about it is what's the value, the dollar value of the commodity you have in the ground. And some of these numbers that we've generated here recently, like 10 grams over 31 meters, so effectively that's a third of an ounce over 100 feet, roughly. So you got to think the value of that is, what is that? That's about $500 rock, 100 feet of $5 rock for $500 rock. I mean, the potential profitability when we've got this thing drilled off just has few kind of parallels. And, you know, you asked me about numbers, like specifically, you know, we're starting to see these wide intervals of multi-gram mineralization flanking, you know, these multi-meter intervals of high-grade gold. And like some of the ones, like we had 4 grams over 80 meters. Like if you think about that, that's about $200 rock over 80 meters. I mean, these are numbers that just, you don't see them commonly in our industry. And, you know, we're talking about increasing depth, but the reality is all these numbers, we're still only drilling down to 300 or 400 meters vertical depth. So they're still potentially within surface bulk tonnage mining, you know, areas, which is absolutely incredible. So, yeah, we're very happy with the way things are going, Jay.
And, you know, you, in spite of COVID-19, you still had 3 drill rigs running. You explained to us the last time you were on the show how you were able to do that. You had locals there that could drill. You stayed in your home in Vancouver while the people there in Ontario could continue working. So what have you accomplished? I mean, you just said in share price, but in terms of the project since February or so, March, I guess, when you started drilling, you did it with 3 drill rigs. Now you have 5. You're adding 2 more. What did you accomplish during, you know, what all have you accomplished in terms of, let's say, progress on the project towards some kind of economic viability? What have you achieved since March until now, and what do you think you can do with 5 rigs?
Well, this is it, right? The project, the company has done exceedingly well off of 3 drill rigs, which is, you know, a modest number. It's still one of the largest drill programs in Canada, but that's at reduced capacity. So despite the fact that we've had all this incredible growth in share price, company value, and results, that was at reduced drill capacity. So going back up to 5 rigs now, it's almost a 70% increase in our drill productivity, which means the numbers, the drill results are going to be coming faster than they ever have before. We had a brief period of a couple of months prior to COVID when we were operating with 5 drill rigs and then had to reduce the levels in order to keep only local staff on site and protect everybody from infection and their own concerns. And that's been very effective. But now going back up to that capacity, we should be able to generate the results that will give us that initial economic look at the project sometime during 2021. And I would love to get it done quicker. If I could snap my fingers and we could have all the results in hand, it would be like a dream come true, a miracle come true. But the system that we found is so big because it's over 5 kilometers long. We've got drilling now over 11 kilometers. We're drilling down to about the deepest holes, about 800 meters, and we're finding new zones continuously as we do this work. It's just going to take all this time until sometime next year to get that resource out, that initial maiden resource. But in the meantime, there'll be more drill results coming out of Great Bear than any other company that I'm aware of, which is really, yeah. It keeps us in that sort of pole position, that leadership position in the industry where the numbers just keep coming. And that's something that ultimately, if the value's in the ground, the value gets reflected in the share price. That's a very simple formula, and we have all the money we need to do it, and we're now going back up to capacity really like we've never seen before.
Yeah, and certainly there are people that are, industry experts, analysts that follow these drill results very closely, and they must be gaining some sort of an appreciation for value in the ground, long before you come out with your maiden resource, I suppose, Chris. And I have to think you must be hearing from some of these people.
Yeah, we are. We're seeing independent analyst reports issued continually on the company, and they generally give an estimate somewhere, which is a pretty wide spread at the moment, but somewhere they think our first resource, which won't be the entire system, it'll just be what we can get done in the first 2 years of drilling, but their estimates are between about 4 and 10 million ounces at that point. And that means that even 2 years into our drill program on this LP fault, if they're correct and if we show it with the drilling, it'll be one of the largest new gold discoveries in the world in many years. And it's our job to show that that's just the beginning of the process. That's really only the shallow part of the system. That's only over a small area. The total size of the system, as I mentioned, we've got gold drilled over 11 kilometers, and we have all these untested targets. So as exciting as it's been, it's still very early days with the company, and all that growth is still ahead of us.
That's pretty incredible. I mean, and then you also have to think about in terms of the economics, the grades. You have broad zones of mineralization, but you have spikes of very high grade. So it's going to really be interesting to see how the numbers finally come out in terms of the average grades, but great mining widths, I would think, Chris. And I know our friend Eric Coffin responding to the last news release, he said, and I quote, he says, "While the overall system does seem to be thickening at depth on several sections, I am more focused on the higher grade intercepts within the broader halo of low grade mineralization. I am assuming it's the higher grade sections that will be relevant as Great Bear pushes deeper with its drill holes," end of quote. Well, I'm thinking at depth that would make sense, but then Eric goes on to say, look, don't get worried about this. When I say narrow zones, I'm not talking about really narrow zones. I'm talking about several meters, perhaps. So I want to ask you, Chris, do you think that, I mean, you're near surface. Do you envision this? I know it's early days and you can't really say yet, but do you envision an open pit scenario to start with here, possibly, and then underground later?
That's certainly a possible outcome. There are different ways to bulk tonnage mine something. The Australians, mm-hmm. for one point, they're very good at underground bulk tonnage mining, and they'll typically go hundreds of meters or kilometers deep on material that would be the equivalent to, 3-4 grams per ton gold. We have significant widths of that, many tens of meters. And it's possible, like, at some point, I'm absolutely sure that there will be bulk tonnage mining at some point. It could be open pit. It could be bulk tonnage underground. And certainly mm-hmm. below that, you're going to be following these high-grade zones to depth. In comparison to the other mines in the district, those mines go 5 times deeper than we've already drilled. And those yeah. zones are skinnier than what we have. So our zones are wider. They have high-grade gold, and they go right to surface than any of the competing deposits. There's 30 million ounces of gold produced in the Red Lake area. Some of those zones go to surface. Many of those zones at other projects begin at more than a kilometer or even more than a mile vertical depth. And basically, we're seeing comparable material and this big bulk tonnage system surrounding that right at surface. So to get an apples-to-apples comparison, you really have to stack us up based on some of the biggest open pit type mines in Canada, like Canadian Malartic, the Detour system, mm-hmm. the difference being that we have high-grade gold going to surface in a bigger area and higher grades than either of those do. So we have the size of a big low-grade system, but we have the grade of a big high-grade system, and we have them both going right to surface. And that's really why it's such an exceptional discovery.
Yeah, and Lake District, of course, is nothing to sneeze at. It was actually the Red Lake Mine that was the company maker for Goldcorp. And what you're saying is you're looking at something that could be, you know, is a lot different, of course. It's a new kind of mineralization. But, Chris, you found also, I think, a new discovery that you made that's more the along the traditional lines of what you first found there, the Dixie Limb and the Hinge, and you found something new called the Aerozone that is northwest a ways. So you have that kind of mineralization, which is more the traditional Red Lake mineralization as well. I mean, are you, with five rigs, are you going to be doing some, are you at all focused on that sort of thing? Because it seems to me, if I were in your shoes, I'd say, who needs another discovery at this stage? I mean, what we need, you have so darn much already. I just like to see what the economics are looking like over that 5 kilometer stretch of the LP zone, but then you have these other targets that are just amazing as well. It's incredible.
Well, that's a great point, Jay. Like, probably on a rough estimate, about 90% of the drilling that's going to occur, so 9 out of every 10 holes will be on this big LP fault discovery.
Yeah.
Some of that drilling will be on the Dixie Limb and Hinge zone, but most of it on the LP. But we'll keep at least one rig constantly testing new targets across the project.
Interesting.
So far, we've only tested probably about 20% of the property, and that means, say, 80% of the targets on the project haven't ever had a drill rig in them. And those are the same types of targets, like the Aerozone, the Dixie Limb, the Hinge, even parallels to the LP fault that we've had huge success in already. And they're just sitting there showing the same kind of geophysical signatures, the same sort of folds, the same sort of geological targets that we've had huge success in, and they're just waiting to be to have a rig poked into them. The Aero discovery, we found it on the first drill hole into that target, and it's a
incredible
of the Hinge zone type discovery, and it's one hole. The chance of hitting high grade gold like that on a random drill hole statistically is about zero, but what it's showing you here on our project is that the system is so big that all these different horizons are getting mineralized, and there's so many targets to explore. You still need to have about 10% of your ongoing work on the green fields or the blue sky, however you want to describe it, exploration. Yeah. And even though you've got a huge new zone discovery, you could be just meters away from another high-grade Red Lake-style discovery, and that's what we're seeing. There looks like there's a potential trend of these types of Red Lake targets beside the big LP fault. It's very exciting for us. The geologists are living in a state where every day is a little bit like Christmas. They go into the core shack, and they're a lot like kids on Christmas morning. The core comes in, and it's like unwrapping a present. And, it's all the visible gold. It's a visible gold system. It's just beautiful seeing that stuff come out of the ground.
That's really amazing. We're out of time, Chris, but I want to ask you, you've got money to go through this year and into next year, I think, right? Or all the way through next year,
actually,
possibly.
With the rigs that we have, even with five rigs, we could drill all the way into 2022. So that's a lot of runway ahead before we have to finance again. So
that means you're not forced to dilute like so many of these companies are. What an amazing story. Chris, thank you so much for being with us again. It's just really, really fascinating, and I'm so glad that I picked your shares up so much earlier, long time ago. Thank you for all you've done, and we'll look to have you on again sometime soon, I hope.
Excellent, Jay.